Hi and welcome. My name is Janet Egba and I'm one of the curators for the Innovators Handbook. Now, a little bit about myself. I live in Melbourne, Australia. I call myself an intrapreneur. Probably for the last, in the last 10 years, I worked for some of the largest banks here in Australia in corporate. In probably the last five, I was in the space of small business. And in the small business space, we started doing a lot of different work in terms of how do we start partnering with different players? How do we start innovating for our customers? How do we start thinking about different ways of going about delivering value and reinventing what a bank could be for customers? So it took me a little while to realize that I was probably really an intrapreneur at heart. And then I started going in the journey of really everything that is about intrapreneurship. How do you influence decision makers? How do you go about making change? How do you go about making an impact? And how do you actually use these large organizations and all the resources at hand to actually make a positive impact to society in some shape or form? But one of the things that's always been of real interest to me has been also diversity. Now, I was born in Mexico City. I then lived in Israel for 7 years, and for the last 19 years, I've been in Melbourne. And for me, diversity has always been a topic of genuine interest around not only what it can bring to the table, but particularly today, what it can bring to innovation, different perspective, different thinking, and especially in a world that's getting smaller and smaller by the day. We're here running this interview between Melbourne and Chicago with two Spanish speakers. So okay. I'm so looking forward to this conversation, Andres. So that's enough about me. I'll introduce the topic, which is all about diversity and how diversity can have a real impact in the outcome of innovation. So our audience is mainly going to be entrepreneurs looking to identify different ways to make innovation work. So I think diversity is such a beautiful topic to go through. So very keen to go about not just how it drives in outcomes of innovation, but how it can be defined, measured in the context of really smarter about driving innovation. So that's about the topic. And now it's my absolute pleasure to introduce our expert for this session, Andres Tapia. Now, Andres Tapia is the Global Diversity and Inclusion Solutions Leader for Korn Ferry Hay Group, based in Chicago. He's been one of the leading voices in shaping a contemporary next generation approach to diversity and inclusion. The approach is global, deep integrated into talent systems and focused on enabling marketplace success. Andres has over 25 years of experience as a C-suite management consultant, diversity executive, organizational development training professional, and journalist. He's worked through Europe, Asia, North America, and of course his native Latin America, with clients, shaping their enterprise-wide diversity and inclusion business cases and strategies across a wide range of industries. He's also the author of a book called The Inclusion Paradox, The Obama Era and the Transformation of Global Diversity, as well as the co-author of Auténtico, The Definite Guide to Latino Career Success. He's a frequent sought-after speaker globally in the topic of inclusion and diversity. So it's an absolute pleasure to have you with us today, Andres. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, it's just an absolute pleasure here to be here with you and to be with whoever's going to be watching this and to share some ideas that could be not only strategic and inspiring, but also practical.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Okay, well, let's just get started then. So with we might as well just get started with the first question. Now, in terms of your experience and everything that you've, with all the advising, consulting experience you've had, what does diversity in innovation really mean? Is it to do with thoughts and ideas, or is it more around the background and expertise of the people that are involved? What's the meaning of innovation for you?
Yeah, I would not necessarily make a distinction. I think it's about all the above, because by nature are different experiences, whatever they may be, the nation we grew up in, the socioeconomic reality, the racial ethnic group that we participate, whether we're male, female, gay or straight, you know, all those things in combination, by definition, are going to generate certain pathways in our brains and certain pathways in our emotions and perspective that then lead to diversity of thought and diversity of thinking and of ideas. So many times there's a debate about whether diversity should be at all about gender differences or the physical differences of race and ethnicity. Or isn't this all really about diversity of thought, the introvert, the extrovert, the linear thinker and the circular thinker, the engineer, the artist? And I would say that all these things go together, that it is about all those different ways of thinking that might be more about personality or just the way our particular brains were wired through DNA and just whatever, for whatever different reasons. But we cannot separate nature from nurture, right? That some ways in which we view the world is based on what we were born with, and other things are definitely shaped by what we were born into. And that has to do with all the background kinds of things that I reflected. So for example, why we cannot distinguish between the two, it's about a both and. You can have people that are all from a minority group, like Aboriginal, and like in where you're at, in Australia, and there may not be that much diversity among them, right? Because they might have been all from the same part of the country, they may all have the same kind of education, kind of experiences. So what I'm most interested in when it comes to innovation is, yeah, the Aboriginal experience is very interesting, but it goes beyond just the fact that you're Aboriginal. It's like, what is it about a particular way of thinking that is going to be in contrast to the others around me? And the others around me could be, you know, white Australian, they could be, you know, Asian Australian, they can be Indian Australian, or they can be sort of immigrants into it. And many times people are satisfied and say, look, we got a diverse group here, as if they were done. And when it comes to innovation, that's the beginning. You got the diversity in the door. And I just used the example of experiences or nationality or ethnic racial background, but that's just the beginning. Among the Aboriginals, I would want to know what's the diversity within that group. And there's all kinds of diversity. It might be age, generational diversity. There might be gender diversity. Or there might be, you know, other ways in which the growing up experience of the group of people that share something, being Aboriginal, is still different. And then I want to know about the Indian Australians or the Asian Australians or the white Australians, and see where is it they might be different among themselves. And now we start percolating, you know, not just go from one dimension of diversity to a multi-layered form of diversity, but that is not enough. Because for innovation, we now have to activate all that diversity and all the implications of different ways of thinking and approaching and experiencing and feeling to then together resolve in an innovative way the challenge in front of us. So as you well know, innovation can be about a new product, a new service, a new way of doing things, right? A new way of interacting, a new way of just even planning a meeting, whatever it might be. So from a breakthrough product to just something as simple as how we're going to get things done on a day-to-day basis. So we have to, you know, as you asked the question, the connection between innovation outcome and diversity inclusion inputs, and whether it's one or the other, or what form of diversity, as you can see from my answer, it's really all of the above. And for I see too many companies focus on getting the diversity in the door, but they do not know that they have to now activate the implications of that diversity. Because I can have a lot of diversity around the table in an organization and not activate it, you know, because people are afraid to speak up. And let me unpack that a little bit. Why is it that you can have diversity around the table and not have activated it? Well, for one, if I'm a member of a traditionally minority group, right? Let's say I'm the only female in an all-male environment. There's just a sociological intimidation about, you know, can I speak up? Should I speak up? How will I be viewed? And so inclusiveness is required to invite that different kind of background person to have their voice heard, right? So that's number one. It's just the invitation to be heard when somebody is in a traditionally underrepresented group, number one. Number two, let's say that person speaks up, right? And they, but what is the reaction to that person's idea? Do people, you know, roll their eyes? Do they turn to somebody else? Do they talk over them? Do they, you know, actually ignore what they say and they just keep on talking? And then, you know, this happens to women a lot. They might say an idea, no one reacts to it. Three people later, a man says the exact same idea that she did. And everybody goes, oh, you know, David, what a great idea. And the woman's like, wait a minute. I said that like three people ago. What happened? So that's the second thing. Giving a lot, you know, inviting the voice.
Yeah.
Hearing the voice respectfully, number two. And number three, for innovation, is really wrestling with the implications of what was said. Because I can listen to you politely. I can even take a note. But it doesn't resonate with me. I'm like, I would have never thought about that. I don't quite know what you meant by that. That's an interesting thought, but let's move on. As opposed to what we need in an inclusive MR to generate innovation is that we need to demonstrate, to achieve innovation, curiosity. You know, why did you say that? Because I really don't understand your idea, but I want to, because I respect you. I know that came from someplace that I don't even understand. So walk me back to what triggered that idea. What was your background? What was your thought process? Because it's different than mine. And I want to really understand it. And I want to respect it, not only because you had an idea, but I want to understand the implications of that energy to the problem we're trying to solve together.
Yeah.
So we really need to combine. I have a shorthand, you know, what is diversity? What is inclusion? And, you know, you have an audience around the world. I've been using Australian examples just because of where you are right now. But I do this work globally. And people say, well, how can you make diversity and inclusion relevant around the world when the Argentinian or the Peruvian or the American or the Chinese or the Australian situations are so different? And I don't disagree that they're so different. But here's a simple way of defining diversity and inclusion that then you can contextualize to where you're at. What is diversity? What is inclusion? How they're similar, how they're different? I like to say that diversity is the mix and inclusion is making the mix work. And from the examples that I've been giving you, I can indicate that you can have diversity, the mix, but not have inclusion, right? And you saw the examples I gave. Or you can have inclusion, but not much diversity. And so part of the rationale for why we need to have diversity and inclusion to achieve innovation, if I have a whole group of people that share the same gender, share the same sort of heritage culture, right, went to the same kinds of schools, the spectrum of diversity of thought within that group, even if I have introverts or extroverts, circular or linear thinkers, it's still going to be constrained by these other formative things that make them who they are.
Yeah.
If I make it more three-dimensional in terms of diversity and introduce gender diversity, racial diversity, national diversity, generation diversity, diversity from people graduating from different schools, right, with different socioeconomic experiences growing up, really different religions, now all the techniques that innovation people know how to do, call it brainstorming, call it funnel, you know, idea sorting, you know, there's all kinds of techniques. You can apply that, but it's, you know, the innovation coming out at the end of that funnel of ideas to innovation to product solution, the more diversity you put in the mix that then is going to interact with each other, the greater chances are that you're going to come up with a better, deeper, innovative idea or a multiplicity of innovative ideas. But it's all about that input, and that input is the mix of the people around the table and the ability to make that mix work, which is about inclusive behaviors.
Now, beautiful. Thank you. So look, if I just, you know, summarize a bit of this answer, I love when you talk about that getting diversity in the door is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. Really, outcomes will only be achieved when you activate that diversity. So you talk about some of the, you know, the beautiful example on site is not just enough to have them at the table, but you need to, in terms of activating them, one, give them an invitation to be heard, two, react to what you're listening, and three, really wrestle with those implications, even in particular with such diverse, you know, views or thoughts, saying, well, I want to understand that. And there was just really nicely how you put together diversity and inclusion that I think resonates, like you said, globally. Diversity is a mix, and inclusion is making the mix work. So I think that's that resonated really strongly.